Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today we're going to talk about how to have a more intimate walk with the Lord. Sorry, my voice is a little bit off. For anybody who did not see my post on the JPH Facebook page this week, the reason you've heard so little from me lately is I've been feeling really unwell. And I've not been feeling very well for a while now, for a matter of months, but and I don't know why, but just here lately it's gotten a lot worse, and it's I don't know what it is. I'm fighting it, but I don't know what it is anyway. Okay, one of the questions that I'm asked most often is about walking in intimacy with the Lord and walking close enough with Him that you can hear when He speaks to you or see when He's leading you. So I'm going to try today to explain some of that to you. When I got saved, did not really set out knowing that was what I was looking for. I wanted to be close to Him, but I didn't really know anything about how you got close to Him. And so let me start by telling you kind of how that went. I was happily living my life in sin, and God sent a prophetic message to me through a teenage girl that lived in an apartment complex where I lived at the time, because I was working nearby in that town in Chickasha, Oklahoma. And as a result of that prophetic message, I immediately gave my life to God right then, that day. And I began to pursue Him. I began listening to sermons. I didn't understand the Bible like most people when they pick up the Bible and flip it open, they don't understand it. And so I wanted to know more about God because I had just been completely hedonistic my whole life. You know, I was 36 then. And I wanted to understand the Bible. I'd never been a regular churchgoer or anything. And so since I couldn't understand the Bible when I read it, I tried to find sermons to listen to. And at the time, I liked listening to Joyce Meyer because some of her sermons would make you laugh. And her teaching was simple enough that I could understand it. Somebody with basically no knowledge of Scripture can understand what she's talking about. So I had a cassette player. We used cassettes back then. I had a cassette player in my truck, and I would buy these big, giant clamshell albums that would have like 8 tapes in them, you know, and I would play those over and over and over. In fact, I played them so much that within a couple of years, I wore out the cassette player in that truck and had to have it replaced. So I didn't learn so much about Scripture. I learned a little, but I learned about the Christian walk listening to her. And I eventually, when you listen to sermons, God will move you from one teacher to the next. You'll find that suddenly you're like, oh, I'm bored listening to that person. And God will lead you to another teacher that has the next thing that you need to know. Or He will send you a mentor that can teach you and disciple you one-on-one. Most people don't have time to do mentoring anymore. The Lord stopped me from mentoring several years ago because He just told me, He said, you're not going to have time to do this anymore. So, you know, I'm moving these people out to other mentors because of that. So, anyway, that was how I started out. And then He opened the Word to me. I was about approximately a year into the walk. And I was pursuing Him with everything in my being. I was not abstaining from all sin. I can only imagine what He could have accomplished if I had been. But I was doing what I knew to do. I was pursuing Him. I didn't really understand how you get free of a sin that you've been in for a long time. So I just didn't get free. I told Him when He saved me, I said, Lord, You and I know I got a lot of sin in my life. And I don't think that you're going to like take it all from me in one day. So I'm just going to believe You that like, you know, like an onion, You're going to peel back one layer at a time and show me the sin that You want to deal with next. And I'll do whatever You tell me. And so I did that. And eventually He set me free from all of that. Okay, so that was how it happened for me. I wanted to be close to Jesus. I didn't know it was called intimacy with God or what came out of it or anything like that. I just fell in love with him. And so I wanted to draw near to him. So since the Word of God is our authority for all things, let's start there and see if we can find some scriptures about intimacy with him. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Okay, so this scripture tells us we must have faith to please God. Now, God's not really going to want to hang out with you if you're completely opposed to him, if you don't believe in him, if you're nothing like him, okay? Not that he won't, but it's going to be a lot harder for you to draw near to him, because if you don't believe in him, you have unbelief. And unbelief is a bad thing. You're not going to please God. You're going to have sin in your life, and all sin is a form of unbelief. It's not believing or trusting God for something. Okay, so he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That means you must believe that God is God, that he exists and he's God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, if you seek him, you know good things are going to come out of that, right? Okay, that's what that's saying. You believe that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. All right. Now, to have faith in someone means to trust them. When my mother was alive, I had great faith in my mother that anything I needed she was able to give me, I would have. Okay, because that was just my mom's heart. I knew her heart, and I knew her love for me, her love for all her children. Okay, you can know God in the same way. The way we know God primarily is through his word. He's left us this masterpiece that tells us so many stories about him, that reveals to us things that he likes, things that he don't like, things that he's done in the past. When nations turned against God, how did he handle that in the past? If you read the Bible, you can find out. How did he handle wars and nations and countries that came against his people Israel? You can find that out if you read the Bible. How did he provide for his own during times of famine? You can find that out if you read the Bible. Did he heal people? I mean, anything you want to know, if you'll just study the word, he'll lead you to the answer, y'all. He will. And all of the Bible is not difficult to understand. I didn't know that when I was a new Christian, because I'd never read the Bible. But there are books in there that you can't understand. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's one of the wisdom books. It is extremely good to study. There are 31 chapters. You can read one each day, and they are sayings of great wisdom that get down in your spirit, and they help you make decisions, and they help you understand the life around you. The book of James is excellent for new Christians, especially in understanding how to live a Christian life. Those two books are really good. The book of Matthew is my favorite among the Gospels. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John basically all tell the story of Jesus' life and death, but from a different viewpoint. And you find which one you like best, and you can read about the life of Jesus. Those are not hard to understand, for the most part. Now, the parables, some of them have secrets hidden in them, but you know, you can seek those out. So let's don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, well, the whole Bible's impossible to understand, so I'm not going to read any of it. We don't want to do that. If you need to listen to sermons until you understand more, that's fine. The more scripture you know, the easier it is to understand, because scripture interprets scripture. So the more you have, the more will be added to you in the area of revelation, okay? Okay, so to have faith in someone means to trust them. And if we trust someone, we're not afraid to pour out our heart to them, are we? Now, back when I was a new Christian, I did that all the time. I still do that all the time. If something happens, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to pour my heart out to him. If somebody hurts me, if I'm in need of something, if something's going on and I'm just emotionally upset about it, I'm going to go to God and I am going to pour my heart out to him. That's what I do. And, you know, I may do that. I may just lay quietly before him for a while. And eventually, maybe not then, maybe later when I'm, you know, up sweeping my floor or washing my dishes, God will speak something to me about that situation. Or he'll send me a prophetic message through someone about that situation, because he answers us. Or maybe he'll just show me something when I'm in his word. Every morning I start my day with a cup of coffee and I read the Bible and I pray. That's what I do every day. He gets the first part of every day because he's God. And it's a wonderful way to start your day, and it makes the whole rest of your day a whole lot better, y'all. You'll find you'll get a lot of blessing in your life just by honoring God for who he is and giving him the first fruits, giving him the first of your time, giving him the first of your increase, the first part of any money or anything that you get. If you will honor God, you will find a lot of blessing will flow into your life just from those acts of obedience. Okay, since sin builds a wall between us and God, then if we have sin in our life, it's going to be harder for us to enter into God's presence, isn't it? It will be harder for us to draw near to him because there's a wall there that we put up. And when you sin, you choose the devil over God each time, okay? And, you know, that's just not a good thing, and that causes problems in your relationship with the Lord. Okay, we're going to read a verse from 2 Peter chapter 1. Or two verses. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what this says is he has called us through knowing him to glory and virtue. Okay, I'll let y'all go look a virtue up in the dictionary. All right, so we've been given promises. Where are those promises? They're in the word of God. That by these, by the promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. So in other words, you might be made more like him. Boom. The water of the word of God is also called the water that washes us and renews our mind. As you read the word, as you listen to the word, your mind is being changed, and your choices to choose right over wrong become much stronger and more frequent. The more you listen to the word, the more you'll choose God's way over the devil's way. It all comes back to get the word, get the word, get the word. You can't say, oh, I'm a Christian, and then never get into the word of God and never listen to teachings where your mind is renewed. You can say you're a Christian all day long. I can say I'm a car too and go stand in the garage, but I'm not a car. But if you say you're a Christian and you listen to the word and you read the word, you're going to become an actual person who actually walks and talks like a Christian, okay? You're not just going to be like somebody with a Christian label stuck to the outside of them. You'll actually become more like Christ. That's what this verse is saying. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, meaning part of Jesus' nature. You become a partaker of his nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Why? Because your mind's being renewed. Okay, moving right along. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, what that verse is telling us, that's in Hebrews chapter 4, is telling us where to go if we need mercy or we need help when we're in need. It's telling us to come boldly to the throne of grace. How do you go to the throne of grace? You go into prayer and you say, Lord, I'm presenting myself before your throne. Right now, I need your help. I need mercy in this situation. You know, maybe I'm going to court. I need mercy, Lord. Somebody's attacking me at work. Somebody's talking bad. I need your mercy and I need your help. Well, you go to him to go to his throne. You have to go into prayer. That's spending time with him too, okay? Okay, now here's another thing about drawing near to God. You got to understand. This is very important. Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. By faith. Remember, we have to have faith. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. This verse means, you got to remember, this is all about Jesus. It is not you. It is not about how many things you do right. It is not about how much you've accomplished for God's kingdom. None of that means anything if you did it with wrong motives anyway. It'll all be burned up at judgment. It's all about what Jesus did for us. We are supposed to spend time thinking every single day about what Jesus has done for us. Did you know that? Every day, we are supposed to think on his sacrifice. When we take communion, the bread and the wine that symbolize his body and his blood, that is to cause us to remember that he spent agonizing hours on the cross, his blood pouring out of him for sins he never committed, the sins we committed, so that we could be free. We're supposed to think about that every day. You want to draw near to God? You better be thinking about Jesus. Okay, Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your might. That means your strength. All your heart, your soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your strength. So love God with everything in you. Okay? To love somebody, you got to know them. How do we fall in love with Jesus? We find out what he did for us. We find out that he first loved us. While we were still in sin, he loved us. While you were out there still sinning, he loved you. He loved you. And he got up on that cross for you. If there had been nobody else that day in Jerusalem at Golgotha, there he was standing there bloodied, beaten half to death. They laid open his back. I had a vision once of Jesus when he was on the cross. Y'all, and they are not kidding when they said you could not recognize him. The swelling was so bad in his face that when I saw him, there were only slits where his eyes were supposed to be. They're just slits. They were swollen up so bad. His face was so swollen, and they had pulled out his beard, and it was pitiful. It was so pitiful. I had it when I was driving, and I almost wrecked my truck. I almost wrecked my truck when I saw it because I wasn't expecting to see it. You know, I always pray and worship and stuff when I drive. That came out of nowhere. I never saw that coming. And I have only seen it that one time, but it was horrific. I am telling you, it was horrific. He did that for you. You were standing there and he saw your sins and said, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it into heaven. They're not going to be with me forever if I don't do this. And he let them drive those nails into his hands and into his feet so you could go to heaven. Think about that. Okay, God loves humility and he absolutely hates pride. He hates it. Let me read you some verses in Proverbs. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now, an abomination, I'm getting tongue-tied, is something that he despises, okay? A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now, wicked imagination is not just a lustful thought. It can be a violent thought. It can be either one. Could be a lot. It could be thoughts of how to ruin someone's character. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. You're running because you want to go get into mischief. Those feet. A false witness that spreads lies. And he that sows discord among brethren. He that sows doing, you know, spreading stuff around because they know it's going to start up trouble or start up strife or cause people to fight. God hates that. He hates it. Psalm 51 says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. What's causing the heart to be broken? They recognize their own sin. If you can look at your own sin and it breaks your heart, that pleases God a great deal. When you hate and despise your sin as much as he does, that means a whole lot to him, okay? So he hates pride, he hates lying, and he hates sowing strife, causing trouble, being a troublemaker. And there's, oh Lord, y'all know people that just live to spread gossip and start trouble and run around spreading tales. God despises that. He hates it. Okay, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. To inhabit something, you got to be where it is, right? You know what that means? That means if you are praising him He's there with you. He is right there. If you're driving on your morning commute and you're praising Him, He's right there with you. I used to commute into Dallas early in my walk when God moved me to Dallas. I used to commute horrible bumper-to-bumper traffic. And there was a radio program. I loved this radio program so much. In fact, I remember praying one time. I said, Lord, I wish I could do a radio program like that for you. I would wish that I could be that talented. And it was a guy named Tom Dooley was the guy who produced it or who spoke on it. And it was called The Journey. And it always touched my soul. And they played music. And every morning, I could not wait to hear The Journey. Mr. Dooley has since gone home to be with the Lord, but I loved that show so much. It just always spoke to me. The anointing on it was so strong. And I would listen to other preaching programs, and I would sing, and I would talk to God, and I would listen to the Word. And then by the time I got to work, you know, I was full of the Holy Spirit and thinking about God, and it just helps you get through your day a whole lot more than if you're listening to, you know, Screaming and Metallica or something. Okay, we must have reverence for God's mighty power. You've got to understand that God is God and you're not, okay? And He has the power to shut anything in your life or existence or all of our existence down anytime He desires to do so. He created everything you see, and all He has to do is go, and He can destroy it. It takes Him nothing to do that. People who scream at God and shake their fists at Him or blame Him with things are scary to me because, well, don't stand close to Him in a lightning storm, but He can take the breath out of your loved one's lungs in the next instant. He could draw back His protection. I don't want to say cause. He could withdraw His protection and let the enemy strike you with 10 diseases in the next 5 minutes. He is God. He could do anything He wants to. Your world is as good as it is because He is God and He is blessing you right now. Keep it that way. Make sure that you understand how great and how powerful He is. And keep that reverential fear of Him, just meaning understand His power. That's not fear like, oh, I'm scared to death of God. It means fear. It means having respect for Him and His power. That's what fear of God is. It's having respect, a healthy amount of fear, understanding that if you stand and scream at Him and shake your fist, He might decide to do something about that and you would not enjoy it. And it would not be to give you your way either. I can just tell you that. All right? So let me read you a verse about that. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and He heard it, because they were talking about Him. God likes it when we discuss Him in a good way. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. You know, the name of Jesus is above all names. We should think on His name, and we should think about the Father, our Father, the Lord. Because He's our Father. And we're going to go and spend eternity with Him someday. Okay, that's all I have for y'all. This is a starting place for you in developing intimacy with the Lord and understanding how that's done. Okay, what some things bring you into closer intimacy and some things take you further away from God. Sin will take you further away from God. Sins of the mouth, sowing strife, spreading gossip, those will take you further away from God. Blaming God for things, that will get you in all kind of trouble. It will definitely take you further away from God. It will not bring you closer. It will not bring you into the promised land of blessing and milk and honey and all that. I'm not going to offer you a list of these things. If I felt better, I would, but I'm just not up to answering emails right now, y'all. I don't feel much like typing and answering emails, so you'll have to listen to them again and write them down if you want those. Hopefully, I'll be better fast, but this has been coming on for a while now, for months, and I don't know what's going on, really. I don't. There's no good medical care in the area I'm at. You have to drive 3 hours just to have a test run, and that's up and down the mountains, and I'm not going to do that, so we're just going to get through this with Jesus' power. So that's where we're at. I'm going to do the best I can with it and believe God that He'll help y'all understand. I'm doing the best I can, and any prayers are appreciated. But I hope this has helped you. I hope that y'all have a really great week. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where all of a sudden it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are times of great uncertainty and change. They are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many of these wilderness experiences in my own life, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led into the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving your provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. The Wilderness Companion. Don't go into the desert without it. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com, in print and Kindle. Loosed from Chains of Darkness, and be free. Millions of Christians are trapped in abusive situations today, living in fear or living a life of failure. 1 in 4 women in America will experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. Men are victims of nearly 3 million assaults in the U.S. Did you know if you are under the curse of abuse, abuse will always be part of your life unless you break the curse? Find out how to get free of the curse of abuse. Get the book, Escaping the Curse of Abuse. Available on Amazon.com. Escaping the Curse of Abuse. And be free. Isn't it time?